Y'all doing good today? Are you happy? All right. Well, if you're not, you will be by the time I'm done. Maybe. I'm going to talk to you about God who is happy today. But before I do that, a lady noticed an old man sitting on his porch. "Excuse me," she said. "I couldn't help but notice how happy you look. Tell me, what is the secret to your long and happy life?" He says, "Well, I eat fatty foods and I never exercise. I also smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day and drink about a case of whiskey every week." "Wow," the woman says. "How old are you?"
28.
Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1. We're actually going to look at 2 verses in 1 Timothy and a lot of other verses. I encourage you to take notes if you want to and try to follow along in your Bibles or your iPads or your whatever you're using. It is pretty cool, the technology that we have today. I was reading from the Passion Translation this morning, and it's now available on Bible Gateway. And I don't know if the whole Bible's on there, but the scripture that I was looking at was, and the Passion Translation is pretty cool. So if you haven't seen that one, it's neat. But anyway, 1 Timothy. Did you get there already? 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 11. And I'm just reading these two verses. I'm not getting a lot of context from them, but there's a reason for that. "That teaching is found in the gospel that was entrusted to me to announce the good news from the glorious and blessed God." And then over in chapter 6 and verse 15, if you want to flip over there, it says, "His appearing will be brought about at the right time by God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Did you guys notice the word blessed in both of those scriptures? The blessed God, the blessed King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The blessed God. God is referred to twice as blessed. The Greek word here is makarios. That doesn't mean anything to anybody, but I just thought I'd say it. It made me feel good. It made me happy. But the word makarios actually just means happy. Happy. And sometimes we, as Christians, we get this word blessed, and we don't maybe associate it with happy the way we should. Or maybe because we've Christianized it, we call it blessed. I don't get blessed too often when I'm not happy. In fact, I was trying to think of a time when I felt like I was really blessed and wasn't happy. Usually, if I'm blessed, I'm feeling pretty happy. So they kind of go together, but sometimes, you know, we get terminologies and we start to actually create things with the terminologies that weren't really there in the first place. In some languages, they don't have multiple words for some of the same things. They don't even have multiple words for similar things. Almost every language does that thing where we, you know, use metaphors. And so you have to figure out what's meant. But this isn't a metaphor. This is just happy. God is happy. Do you know that God's happy? Do you feel good that God's happy? Are you wishing sometimes God wouldn't be so happy? Like maybe you're not happy with someone and you're wishing God wouldn't be happy with them either? Around here, we like to say God is in a good mood. It was in our offering reading, offering declaration today. Why is God in a good mood? Why do we think God is in a good mood? I believe God's in a good mood because Jesus said, "It is finished." When Jesus finished what he finished, it was finished. Now somebody says, "Well, we've been doing a lot since then." Yeah, but we're just in the process of finishing what he finished. In fact, it's already finished, if you want to get real technical about it. We just get to have the fun of being in on it. And he's waiting because he wants more and more of us to get in on it. He wants a world full of people to get in on it. I tried to find a place in my Bible where God was angry after Jesus said, "It is finished." I couldn't. A lot of people that think that God is not happy because of all the things that are going on around the world. How many of you have noticed there's some things going on right now that are pretty ugly? There are some states that I don't understand what they're thinking. There are some people groups, whole cities full of people who are just okay with a lot of things that are wrong. They're just wrong. They think that God must be offended, and I talked about that a while back, but I believe that Jesus' completed work has made God so happy that the actions of sinful men cannot keep him from the joy that he has, knowing that what he has done will have its glorious climax and outcome ultimately. He's not discouraged. God's not up there wondering whether it's all going to work out. He knows where this thing's going. He knows it's going to be okay. God knows nothing can separate us from his love. And the more we know it, the more we believe it, the more we will see it. Yeah, I know. Sometimes it's discouraging out there. And I have to slap myself. You know, come on, wake up. Nothing can separate you from his love. A happy God should be the center of my universe. And sometimes I'm the center of my universe. And that doesn't work out too good for me. We become like what we worship. I'm called to live a godly, godlike life. And if I'm not happy, am I like God? Am I going to make you think today? Yeah, sorry. Nudge the person next to you and say, he's going to make you think today. Somebody says, well, but didn't God tell us that we could be angry? I know what verse you're referring to. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So I checked out the verse. Five verses later, Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Paul's schizophrenic. I don't think so. Later, he says the same thing to the Colossians, by the way. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Well, didn't he just say we could be angry? No, he said you will be angry. How many of you know you'll probably be angry from time to time? And by the way, if you've read my book, I believe that the vast majority of anger among human beings is tied to fear. But perfect love casts out fear. Just check yourself sometime when you're getting angry. And ask yourself, am I afraid of something? Yelling at your spouse because you're afraid you'll be late. So your anger directed toward your spouse is really a result of fear. And what are you afraid of? After all, you're classy. Showing up late is just a sign of your status. Fashionably late. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That word wrath right there is actually anger again. And it's like, don't let yourself go to bed in a bad mood. Can I do that? Can I control that? Is that within the framework of my ability? That I can just decide I'm not going to go to bed angry? What if she says something? That woman right there, just before we go to bed, especially if she says something true. Hate it when she does that. About me that I don't like about me. I can be in a grumpy mood. But we've made up our minds that we're not going to do that. So every night, the last thing we do after I turn out the light is I work my way across the king-size bed to find where she's at. And then I nudge her with my head. I try to... She pets me and tells me, good boy, good boy. No, she... Here you go. You want to preach this? No, never mind. And she'll give me a goodnight kiss, because we always want to kiss goodnight before we go to sleep. Sometimes she just holds onto my ear. She does that. She just holds onto my ear. It's kind of like, yeah, I like you. Just tugs my ear. We got our own little moment there. And I can't stay in a bad mood if she does that. And I really don't believe that bad moods are good ideas anyway. They aren't helping. So I try to put away the anger. I try to get rid of that. I try not to keep that. It will come. But it's my responsibility when it comes not to sin, but to rather put it in its place, recognize it for what it is. So I am allowed to be happy. Somebody says, but what about God's wrath in the book of Revelation? I know. By the way, if you read the book of Revelation, you'll find that when God pours out his wrath, no one repents, and they're mad at him. Check out Revelation 11:18. It doesn't say he's mad at them. I got this crazy idea in my mind, by the way. You know, somebody says, well, the wrath of God, and you got this like angry, rah, God. What if he's actually kind of enjoying pouring out his judgment? What do you mean? Well, who's he mainly pouring his judgment out on? The devil. When the devil gets what's coming to him, don't you think God's going to be pretty happy about it? I'm not sure that God is unhappy about making sure that that which is keeping his people from being everything that they ought to be, the end of that makes the Lord pretty happy, I would think. And it's going to make me happy, I know that. It's going to make my wife happy when God finally straightens me out. Even now, I can be happy in all sorts of circumstances. And the reason I know that is because my Bible tells me I can. Chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. I want to read it to you today. You can follow along if you wish. And maybe if you've got an app that has the Young's Literal Translation, you want to read it with me. But you probably don't have Young's Literal Translation in your phone or your iPad or in your hand in a Bible form. But this is really an interesting translation. It's an old, old translation as well. It's not something new. It's been around for a long time. Verse 1 of chapter 5. I'm going to read quite a bit here. And having seen the multitudes, he went up to the mount. And having sat down, his disciples came to him. And having opened his mouth, he was teaching them, saying... You see, this is a little clunky. Did you see all those havings? I don't know why Young's is like that, but it's like I said, it's old. It's kind of King James-ish. So that's the first two verses. Here we go. Are you ready? Happy the poor in spirit, because theirs is the reign of the heavens. What word should have been there? Blessed. But that's not the way Young's translated it decades ago. Happy the mourning, because they shall be comforted. What? The mourning? You can mourn and be happy at the same time? Actually, I've seen it. Done a few funerals in my day. I've seen people who were in mourning that were actually being very happy. Happy the meek, because they shall inherit the land. Happy those hungering and thirsting for righteousness, because they shall be filled. Happy the kind, because they shall find kindness. Happy the clean in heart, because they shall see God. Happy the peacemakers, because they shall be called the sons of God. Happy those persecuted for righteousness. Really? Because theirs is the reign of the heavens. Happy are ye whenever they may reproach you and may persecute and may say evil thing against you falsely for my name's sake. I don't know about you, but I've had that happen to me, and I'm not always very happy about that. It bugs me when people say things about me that aren't true. It's even worse when they say things that are true. But and I have to face it. But it's really hard when people revile you and persecute you. It's not easy. He says you can be happy during that. Rejoice and be glad, verse 12, because your reward is great in the heavens. For thus they did persecute the prophets who were before you. It sounds like, even though you may not feel all that happy at the moment that it happens, that there's something that you can do about that feeling, and you can make a decision to be happy. Wow, can I do that? You just were given permission by Jesus himself. Go ahead and be happy. Somebody's giving you a hard time, be happy anyway. Someone's saying bad things about you, be happy anyway. Going through some stuff, guess what? Be happy anyway. Now, some of these are easier than others. I think it's really easy to be happy when you've helped make peace between two people. Have you ever tried to make peace between two people, though, and had them both turn on you and rip you to shreds? Yeah. They were fighting with each other, and it was fine as long as they were fighting with each other. And as soon as you said anything to try to stop the fight, they turned on you unified and showed you that, yeah, we're allowed to fight with each other, but don't you get in our stuff. Yeah, some of you are smiling. You have memories. Heal them, Jesus. All right. Jesus is saying you can do this. We tend to think that happiness follows an event, follows something that we wanted to happen. How many of you know there's a lot of things that have happened in my life, and I'm sure yours, that I wanted to happen that didn't turn out to make me happy? I thought they'd make me happy until they happened. And then I realized that wasn't the key to happiness. So, am I happy because things are going well? Or could it be possible that things are going well because I'm happy? Oh. And this is where I want you to get, if you can get there. I'm going to go scientific on you. You ready? All right. There is scientific evidence that proves that while success doesn't necessarily lead to happiness, that happiness does lead to success. Happiness is the center, and success revolves around it. In over 200 scientific studies on nearly 275,000 people, evidence has been found that happiness leads to success in nearly every domain, every facet of our lives, including marriage, health, friendship, community involvement, creativity, and in particular, your jobs, your careers, and your businesses. Data abounds showing that happy workers have higher levels of productivity. They produce higher sales. They perform better in leadership positions and receive higher performance ratings and therefore higher pay. The happier you are, the more money you're likely to make. If that's not a reason to get happy, I don't know what is. They also, happy people, enjoy more job security, are less likely to take sick days or to quit or to become burned out. Happiness is not the belief that we don't need to change. It's the realization that we can. Some people don't want to change. I get that. a lot of times they don't want to change because they're afraid of change, because they don't think they can successfully change and ever be what they would really like to be. So they give up. Many people are, you know, taught to believe things like, I'm just not a happy person. Happy doesn't run in our family. By the way, if you don't raise your hands, but if any of you got a relative like that, yeah, happy doesn't, I'm not happy. I'm the one in the family who isn't happy. That's my job, be unhappy. You know, and it's like the idea that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's not true, you know. They've actually proven that you can teach old dogs new tricks. We have a 14-year-old dog. She's still changing some of her habits. And we found out sometimes it's our fault. She figured out that she likes a certain treat and she will bug the stuffings out of us to get it. She never used to do that. Now every night at 5 o'clock, just keeps bugging me. Shut up already. Crazy dog. It's just happened in the last year. You bought those dumbbells. I'm not happy you bought those. No, wait a minute. Maybe you should be happy. I don't know what I'm doing here. Some people just think that they're born cynical and they can never change. But the truth of the matter is, we all can change. The established train of thought in our culture is that our potential is biologically fixed, and it's just not true. And when our brain reaches maturity, we think, well, now we're just stuck with what we've got. But it's not true. And there's no basis in science. The amazing thing is, the Bible actually agrees with that. You all know this verse, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I can change my mind. I can make my mind better. My mind can be adjusted so that I will start to think the way God wants me to think, the way He designed me to think. And He didn't design you to be unhappy. And we've been saying for a long, long, long time around here, repent, which is to change the way you think. Not to feel bad, it's to change the way you think. Science calls this, by the way, they actually have a name for this, neuroplasticity. It's a real thing. It's a real study. And they're learning more and more about the brain all the time, and they're not anywhere near where they're going to be in just a few years. So if you can change the way you think, you can change your world and the world around you. You can affect things. Here are some just little interesting case studies. I just got a couple little things here to tell you about. 180 nuns from the School of the Sisters of Notre Dame were all born in 1917, and they were asked to write down their thoughts when they were about 20 years old in autobiographical, there's a big word, journals. So for more than five decades, they kind of tracked these ladies. And a group of researchers decided to encode them for positive content, what they wrote. The nuns whose journal entries had overtly joyful content lived nearly 10 years longer than the nuns whose entries were more negative or neutral. By 85, 90% of the happiest nuns were still alive, compared with only 34% of the least happy quartile of nuns. So clearly the nuns who were happy at 20 didn't feel that way because they knew they were going to live longer. They lived longer because they were happy. It had an effect on their lives, their health. The connection between happiness and health has been established in studies over and over and over. Here's another one. One study, the researchers gave subjects a survey designed to measure their level of happiness, and then, wouldn't you love to sign up for this, injected them with a strain of the cold virus. How many of you want to be those? Yeah, I'll volunteer to catch a cold. A week later, the individuals who were happy, or happier, before the start of the experiment had fought off the cold virus much better than the less happy individuals. They didn't just feel better either. They actually had fewer objective symptoms measured by the doctors. Less sneezing, less coughing, less inflammation, less congestion. Wow. What if instead of vitamin C, the next time you get a cold, you just go, give me a little vitamin C and let's be happy. Put on a funny movie. Let's laugh. Let's enjoy ourselves. If I get so sick that I have to take a day off, yes! I'm going to be happy about it. Amen. I knew I'd get an amen out of somebody. There we go. Happiness isn't just for better health either. It also helps in the areas of creativity. Some of you may not feel like you're that creative, but it's actually not true. All of us have creative nature inside of us. Sometimes it just gets bottled up. Sometimes we've been told, don't do that, you're no good at that. And that very thing that you've been told not to do is what you should be doing because it'll make you happy. And the more happy you are, the more creative you'll get in that. Researchers have long known that negative emotions narrow our thoughts and our actions. Fear, which carries with it a fight or flight mechanism. Again, I wrote a book about fear, got no phobia. Fear causes us to shrink our focus to the thing that we're most afraid of. And while that mechanism may be helpful in running from a bear or a wolf or whatever, it doesn't allow for thinking outside the box, creative ideas. So sometimes the people who control their fears are able to think what they need to do next and fix the problem before the problem becomes too big. Sometimes while people are running around with their hair on fire, freaking out, somebody else, have you been in a room like this where this happens? Somebody else walks over and goes, oh, I see the problem, hits a button and it's taken care of. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So creativity and happiness go hand in hand and help us become more successful in everyday life. The positive, by the way, emotions that flood our brains do so, and they give us doses of dopamine and serotonin, chemicals that are designed to make us feel good. And they light up our learning centers of our brain so we can retrieve things faster, remember things easier, think more clearly. Another study, students were told to think about the happiest day of their lives right before they were handed a test. And the ones who thought about the happiest day of their lives, as opposed to the group that was not asked to think about the happiest day of their lives, two completely equal groups, but the ones who thought about being happy and the ones who didn't think about being happy, the happy ones actually scored overall much better on the test than the ones who weren't told, think about something happy. How many of you have ever gotten ready to take a test and you were anything but happy? Completely convinced you were going to fail the test. Well, I just got news for you. You're helping yourself fail it when you feel that way. When you convince yourself you're not going to succeed, guess what you probably aren't going to do? Succeed. These kind of results have been replicated in other key areas, from business dealings to sales to contract negotiations to relationships and marriage. Happiness is the center to real results. Wow. And Jesus said, be happy. I know he didn't sing it. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Now, he didn't do that, but it's not a bad idea. And it's not against the gospel, all right? Maybe you're used to the gospel being all hellfire and brimstone, God's in a bad mood, he's going to kill all these rotten people. I got news for you. God's in a good mood, and he loves you all the time. Nothing can separate you from his love. We just did that a little bit ago. I believe Christians should be the happiest people on the planet. Goofy people over here having fun. Stop having fun, I'm preaching. Yeah, we don't believe that here. Go ahead and have fun. And then suddenly the whole room breaks out with people throwing boxes. Never mind. Yeah, you couldn't see it on the, but whatever. Do they still make kids? I don't have a lot of kids in the room. We sent the kids out, but there are some young. Do they still make you memorize the preamble to the Declaration of Independence? Yes? Awesome. She's learning it right now. I'm going to read it. I should have it memorized because I remember remembering it when I needed to when I was in school. How many of you remembered it and then you forgot it? But you remember parts of it, like the key things. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of... There you go! It's patriotic to be happy. So next time you see somebody who's all in a bad mood, just go, hey, 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 you're being unpatriotic. No, don't do that. But here's the word that I wanted to pull out of there. Did you hear the word pursuit? All right. Happiness does require some expenditure of energy on our part sometimes. It does. Far too many people are waiting for happiness. I don't think that's a good idea. I think you should pursue happiness. Some people are waiting for somebody else to bring them happiness. Not a good idea. I think you should pursue happiness. I believe that if we want to, we can actually stop waiting and start creating happiness. What? Sure. We can, I think, with a little practice, become happier. And we can do that by becoming purveyors of happiness. I did it again yesterday. The girl at Lowe's looked at me and she said, "Did you find everything all right?" And I said, "Well, dear, no, I didn't. You're out of leprechaun traps." And she looked up at me, and, just saying, and she started giggling. I said, "It's okay, I don't need them until March anyway." I know, but people laugh. Making people smile is fun. In fact, the more we spread happiness, the more happy we become. It's true. Sometimes they ask me, "How you doing today?" At Burger King or McDonald's or something. "How you doing today?" "I'm finer than a frog's hair." And they look at you like, "What?" Yeah, on a really good day, I'm finer than a split frog's hair. That's really fine stuff right there. Have you ever seen it? Pet a frog sometime. Check out the hair. It's so fine. It's almost not there. Okay, find your own way of making somebody happy. Maybe your corny stuff doesn't, my corny stuff doesn't work for you, but that's okay. You can find ways to make somebody happy. Remember the old song? Make someone happy. Just make someone happy. And then you will be happy too. Yeah. Look, some of you are already kind of like, okay, that was really stupid, Pastor. But you are giggling. And some of you are telling things to each other about me, which is making you even happier. See how well this is working? You're saying stuff that probably I shouldn't hear. And you know what? Even if I heard it, I probably wouldn't be that unhappy. Maybe a little. But you know what I'm saying? You're all grinning, you're all smiling, and you're doing better. You're going to walk out of here better off today because you're going to have had a chance to think about it. And then you can go out of here and do it. Who knows what supernatural opportunity may be opened up for you because you just smile and give somebody a little bit of happy attitude. Is that what happitude is? I have to look that up. Just a thought. They come out of nowhere sometimes. It's kind of scary. In 2015, and I printed one of these out. I thought about making them up for you again. In 2015, I talked about this a little bit. I actually did a series on happiness in 2015. And I made up a sheet, and it had all the days, the coming days, printed out for 21 days. It had the dates. and it had three lines. Some of you remember this. And I gave them to people and I said, take these home and every day write down three things you're happy about. At first, people didn't quite understand. They thought I wanted them to go out and make somebody happy and then write down how they made somebody happy. Now, I don't care whether you make someone happy or whether you just found something to be happy about. You can just be happy about simple things. But what would it look like if for 21 days, because they say if you do something for 21 days, that it'll become a habit. Maybe for the next 21 days, you write down three things a day that made you happy. My wife and I, during that time, we were at night sharing three things, each of us, that we found during each day that we were happy about. You know, they can be real simple things. You know, if you've had a toilet that was backed up and it wouldn't flush, and now it does, wow, I'm so happy today. You never know what's going to make you happy. And there's no reason not to be happy. I'm happy my car did not have a flat tire on the way here. You say, oh, kind of, that's kind of. No, I mean, it could have happened. There are the little things sometimes are the best things to be happy about. I want to encourage you to do that. Maybe spend time sharing with someone here. If you've got someone you can share with, just call each other up and say, hey, what are you happy about today? You might just change their mood completely. They might have been grousing around, spent too much time watching the morning news. How many of you know they've proven that if you watch too much news, it makes you unhappy? Yeah. As we remember and acknowledge and celebrate good things, the things that we can be happy about, and there is so much to be happy about, then we begin to be grateful. And because we are Christians, because we love Jesus, because we're children of God, that happiness then ends up turning to Him. Some of you do this stuff online. I know Cord posts a lot of stuff. And I know a lot of days when he's posting stuff, it might be easy not to be happy that day for one reason or another. He has to go teach kids at school, man. But he posts happy stuff. And it's good. So, remember, our Thanksgiving going to God then is a powerful thing. And don't forget, Thanksgiving's not Thanksgiving until it's Thanksgiving. So when we start to express that with our mouth, our ears hear it. It creates this rotation in our thinking, and it's positive. It has the possibility of gaining momentum. You can go from having a lousy morning to having a wonderful day because you choose to celebrate the good things that God has done for you, and you give Him credit for it. And don't forget, Psalm 95, verse 2 says that when we give thanksgiving, we enter His presence. We enter His presence with thanksgiving. The more thankful I am, the more happy I am, the more possibility is there for God's presence to hover over me and for that to affect the people around me. Now, that's a big deal. Because then we're in ministry. So for the sake of everybody around you, be the one who's happy. Just be the one who's happy. You'll like it. Other people will like you better. I remember a testimony about this church. This kid walked into this church, and he started being greeted by people and meeting people and everything. One thing led to another. By the end of the service, somebody prayed with him to receive Jesus. And somebody said, what brought you here? And he said, well, he says, I was down at this crossroad. And he said, and the road leads back to the church. And that's the only thing back there. He said, I kept seeing all these happy people going out that road to that church. Homeless guy. And he says, I kept watching the happy people go by. And the more happy people I saw go by, the more I thought, I got to go see where they're going. So he walked back and he found the happy people. And he met Jesus. And no one was trying to be happy just for his sake. There wasn't an announcement at church. Hey, there's a homeless guy sitting down there on the corner. When you turn the corner, look over at him and go. Although that wouldn't be a bad strategy. So I encourage you, make someone happy. If nobody else, just make you happy. Amen.
You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life, You are love. You bring life to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring life to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath. We pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only, God. Earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, bones will say, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, bones will say, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, bones will sing, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you give life, you are love. Bring life to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken.
I give this heart. expression on my skin. And you call me to your great love, and my soul cries, Father, to you above.
So I lift my hands to you. I'm giving everything to you, my Lord, and I give this heart to you. My soul cries out to you.
I rest here in your presence. Nothing else will ever satisfy. Like a covenant of old, your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon with mercy for today. You're faithful, you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me. And that's why I sing your praise. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Makes us whole. You showed our weakness. Your strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. For you will have your bride, free of all her guilt and rid of all her shame. Unknown by her true name, and that's why I sing your praise. Will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise. Will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise. Will ever be on my lips, ever. ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. And you will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints, we sing, worthy are you, Lord. And you will be praised. You will be praised.
With angels and saints, we sing, worthy
are you, Lord. And you will be praised.
With angels and saints, we sing, worthy are you,
Lord. And you will be praised.
You will be praised. With angels and saints, we sing, worthy
are you, Lord. And that's why I sing, your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips, your praise. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
With angels and saints, we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints, we sing, worthy are you, Lord.
And that's why I sing, your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips, your praise will. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will.
Ever be on my lips,
ever be on my lips, your praise will. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my believing. I, for one, I'm gonna give my praise to you. Time has come to stand for all we believe in. I, for one, I'm gonna give my praise.